Okay, good morning, everyone. We are on the top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, Maseches Beitza, making our way through here. We're getting there. Okay, so the Mishnah is continuing the discussion with regards to accessing wood for the purposes of using it on Yontif for some sort of Ochel Nefesh. And the question is, how do I procure this wood? So obviously, if you set aside wood before Yontif, and that's your makatza, that wood, it's set aside, it's ready to go, so then that's not a problem. But what if you don't necessarily have wood set aside, and specifically for the purpose of burning fuel for Ochel Nefesh on Yontif, and you need to procure it from your general environment? So the Mishnah addresses this question. Says the Mishnah, Mevi'in Eitzim min Asadeh. You can bring in wood from the sadeh, from the field, min hamechunos, from wood that has already been gathered up together and piled up together. Umin hakarpeif afilu min hamefuzar. And even if it's not been gathered up together, but it's mefuzar, if it's from the karpeif is like an enclosure, something that's enclosed, that's also considered permitted. And both of these situations are situations where the wood has basically been designated. The wood is set aside. And that's essentially our concern. We're going to learn through this sugya with the shita of Rashi, that the issue here is really an issue of muktza. There are other rishonim that understand the issue being a little more complex, more of a din d'oraisa of me'amer, the issur to gather things on Shabbos. But we're going to learn through the sugya, assuming the issue here is muktza. So again, so something that's designated before Yontif, that's not a problem of muksa. And then you can go ahead and use it as fuel for Ochel Nefesh. But what does it mean for it to be designated? So if I intentionally designated it, everybody agrees that works. What if it's just sitting in the field? So assuming if it's piled up, then if it's gathered, so obviously it was gathered for a purpose. And that purpose would have been to use for Ochel Nefesh. Even if it's not gathered up, but it's in an enclosed area, in an enclosure, so that also, even if it's not specifically in a pile, since it's in an enclosed area, that also is that it is considered set aside. So, ezu karpef, what's considered a karpef? What's considered an enclosure? So, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, kol shesamuch le'ir, anything that is close to the city, that's adjacent to the city. And what is considered, so Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no, kol shenichnasin lo biposachas, anything that, in order to enter into it, you have to get through a locked area, anything that's locked up, even if it's not samach le'ir, but already even further out to the Tchum Shabbos. So the Pashat Pshat in the Mishnah, because the Gemara is going to discuss this, Pashat Pshat in the Mishnah is what's considered karpef, what's considered an enclosure. Rabbi Yehuda says as long as it's close to the city, and Rabbi Yossi has some sort of heightened requirement of posachas, and if you have that, then even if it's further out from the city. What does each one hold in all the different quadrants? That we're going to figure out in a moment. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Ein Mivian Eitzim. He makes the following statement. You can't bring wood for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh. Ela min hamechunasin shebikarpev. It has to be piled up and it has to be in an enclosure. You have to have both. V'ha nantzinan min hakarpev v'afilu min hamefuzarin. In our Mishnah, it seemed to say that it was either or, more mekel, right? Our Mishnah seemed to say, you either bring in mina mechunos, either it's from something that's been piled up, or if it's mina karpev, if it's from an enclosure, then even if it's not mechunos, even if it's mefuzarim. And yet here, this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel seems to say you need both. You need piled up, and you need the karpev. So the Gemara says, masnisan yechidahi. Our Mishnah is following a Das Yachid. And this statement, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which is the Halacha, is following the Sheet of the Rabbanon. Where is this Machlokas? Titanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Lo nachliku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not argue ala mefuzarim shebesados on with regards to wood that is spread out, that is not piled in the sados, in the field, she'ein mivian, that you can't use it for the purpose of burning things for Ochel Nefesh, va'ala mechunasin shebekarpev, shemevian, and if it's piled up in the karpev, then they both agree that you can use it, right? In other words, if both things are wrong, right, that it's spread out and it is in the Sadeh, so then everybody agrees, Mefuzarim Shebesados, everybody agrees it does, you can't use it. That's considered you didn't ascribe your das to that. But if it's Mechunasim Shebekarpef, if it's piled up and it's in the Karpef and it's in an enclosure, you had both, everybody agrees that you can use. Amanach, look, what are they arguing about? Ala Mefuzarim Shebekarpef. On a case where it's spread out, but it's in the Karpef. Or Val Mechunasim Shebesados. Or it's piled up, but it's in the Sadeh. So in other words, you have one or the other. In that case, Shebei Shammai Omrim Lo Yavi, Bei Shammai says you can't bring it. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Yavi, Beis Hillel says you can bring it. So you see, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. This is Rav Shimon ben Elazar's interpretation of Beis Hillel, that either or. And that's the Shita of our Mishnah. Rashi says, we assume that if this was the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar, that there was a counter opinion of the Rabbanon that learned Beis Hillel differently, that really you need both. And that's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and therefore that resolves this contradiction. Amar Rava, another statement regards to this din. Ale konim, if you have leaves of reeds, but ale gefanim or leaves of vines. Afal pi de mechanfei lehu umosivi. So if they are piled up, but they're piled up in such a way that if the wind were to come, it could blow them away. Mm-hmm. So even if the wind doesn't blow them away, they're still considered mefuzarim, right? Similar like the din of sukkah, right? About the ruach shemetsuya, the ruach she'ena metsuya. In other words, something is only considered a stable pile, an intentional stable pile, if I put something somewhere, not ever have expecting it to remain in a pile, because even if it's just susceptible to basic wind, right, it would move around, so then that's not called piling it with the intention to designate it, because you're not really designating it, right? If I put a piece of paper outside on the sidewalk, you can't say that was put there to designate it to be used for something. I know, it's going to blow away. If I put a pile of leaves in front of my house, so I expect a certain amount of them to blow away, but I expect the basic pile will stay where it is until I can deal with it. However, it says, so that's the din of Asurin. V'iya tenach mona me'etmol alayhu shapir dami. But if I put something on top of this pile, then it weighs it down a little bit, even if it's still susceptible to wind blowing it away, since I've done something, I've done some sort of action to designate it for some purpose, the assumption is that that purpose would be fulfilled through Ochel Nefesh, and you're allowed to use that for Yontif. Ezehu Karpev. Now the Gemara wants to know what's considered a Karpev. So the Mishnah had a Machlokas. The Machlokas was, Rabbi Yehuda said, anything that's Samoch Le'ir, Rabbi Yossi said, anything that is opened with a key, anything that's opened with a lock, okay? Now, there's a Mishnah had two discussions. One discussion is what's called designated, right? Is it enough to be designated just to be in a pile, or does it even need to be samachli or needs to be in a karpef? Is it either or? Is it both? Now, the question is, within the assumption that you're dealing with a karpef, what's called a karpef? What's called an enclosure? So one opinion is the enclosure is as long as it's near the city. The other opinion is the enclosure needs some sort of lock. What's the, just before we begin the Gemara, so what's the, what are these two things trying to accomplish? So if it's close to the city, what makes it designated is you have access to it. In other words, I leave my wood within very significant accessible range. It's right out here, it's right outside. So the assumption is, if I left it within accessible range, that I could reach it all the time. So that's called, I've designated it enough that it's considered to be part of the karpef. And if that's enough to be considered a muchan, so then I'm good to go. But if I allow it to be further away, so since it's not accessible, so the assumption is, I did not designate it for use on yontif, because I didn't even make it so accessible, it's far away. However, if you lock it up, so then locking it up has a different issue, and that is now it's mishtameres, now it's guarded. So if I guard something, so maybe then, even if I store it further away, since I took the time to make sure that there's an enclosure that is locked up, that it's like a shed, it's like an enclosure that's locked up, so then there, even if it's further away, that's clearly a form of designation. So now the Gemara wants to know, what's the parameter, what are the parameters of this machlokas? And we have two potential interpretations. Okay, so let's follow along. It's a slightly confusing, but it's not a problem. Iboy lehu. Ask the Gemara, ask, we have a question. Hey, what do we mean when we say kol shesamach le'ir? So the Gemara has two possibilities. One possibility of this machlokas is kol shesamach le'ir v'chu de'isle posachas. That Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you need both to be a karpef. You need samach le'ir, and it's not enough for it to just be accessible. It also needs to be locked up. It also needs to be mishtameres. The Asa Rabbi Yossi comes Rabbi Yossi Lemeimar. So what's Rabbi Yossi's kula? Kevon de isle posachas. No, Rabbi Yehuda. Once you have it locked up, once it's mishtameres, afilu besoch tchum Shabbos nami. Even if it's within the tchum Shabbos, even if it's further out, it is fine. Kevon de isle posachas afilu besoch tchum Shabbos. It would be considered fine. So Rabbi Yehuda needs both, and Rabbi Yossi is saying, I only need one. I need mishtam. If I have mishtameres, then it'll work even outside Chum Shabbos. If I don't have mishtameres, then it'll work samach le'ir, right? But it doesn't need both. It only needs one. If it only needs one, there are two cases where Rabbi Yossi is mekel, formulating it this way on purpose. Right, there are two cases Rabbi Yossi's mekel. One is if it's not mishtameres, but it's samach le'ir, that he would agree to. But he wants to say that Rabbi Yehuda, you're being too machmir. If it's mishtameres, if it's guarded, then even if it's further away, it's still considered okay. Two cases where we're mekel. The only case where Rabbi Yehuda would be mekel would be if it's samach le'ir and it's mishtameres and it's locked up. Short of that, you have a problem. Rabbi Yossi's mekel in both of those cases.
Is this a communal thing? A communal place where everyone stores their word?
Not necessarily. Each person has their own stuff.
But it could be a storage, I guess.
Could be a storage area. My brother bought me one of those outdoor fire things, and he brought over a whole pile of wood and a special wood thing that holds the wood, and then I left it open. All
so
winter.
You would have a shunt to watch.
Now I have lots of wet wood. Yeah.
When you have a destination, right? I forget whether you need to have food there or just a destination to extend to chum. So if you're extending to chum,
that's a good point. So David brings up that the way Chum Shabbos works is you only have within a certain amount. That's for the purpose of travel. You're only allowed to. This is using the shear of Chum Shabbos. To establish what's considered close to the city. But you're correct. If you wanted to travel beyond the Tchum, you would have to go ahead and leave something there at the edge. That's true. There was a lot of Mishnayos about
somebody
that.
Somebody watches it, why does it need a key then?
No, that's the Shemur. I'm using the word Mishtameres. It is watched, meaning it is locked up. So then the Gemara says, so that's one possibility. That was one possibility of the interpretation of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. What's the other possibility? O Dilma, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Kol Shesamuch Le'ir, anything that's close to the city. Bein De'is Le'i Posachas, Bein De'les Le'i Posachas. Whether or not it is locked up or it's not locked up. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda holds that as long as it's Samuch Le'ir, it doesn't matter if it's locked up. This is a different interpretation of Yehuda. He only needs samach le'ir. That's the ikker. It's samach le'ir. It's accessible. I don't care if it's locked up or not locked up. It needs to be accessible. But us, Rabbi Yossi le'meimar, and Rabbi Yossi comes to say, no. Afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos. You could even push it beyond tchum Shabbos. V'davka de'isle posachas. But only if it's locked up. Aval b'delesle posachas. And this is the key. But if it's not locked up, afilu samach le'ir namilo. Even if it's samach le'ir, it doesn't work. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, he's not being more mekel. He's saying the In other words, the way we formulated the Mishnah initially when we read it. And in the first tzad of this Ibaya is that Rabbi Yossi is more makel than Rabbi Yehuda. There are more cases Rabbi Yossi will allow you to use the wood than Rabbi Yehuda will allow you to use the wood. Now we're saying no. We're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is telling you that, what do you call it? That Rabbi Yehuda is telling you anything that's samuch le'ir, you're allowed to use, whether it's locked or whether it's unlocked. That's the case that you're allowed to use. Samuch le'ir, yes. Not samuch le'ir, no. And Rabbi Yossi is coming along to say, no. That if it is outside the tchum, that you're wrong. Even if it's not samuch le'ir, if it's locked, you're allowed to use it in that case. But if it's not locked, because the locking is the issue, it has to be mishtameres. If it's not mishtameres in this side of the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi would say that you're not allowed to use it, even if it is samuch le'ir. And that's the case where they argue. So those are the two possibilities. One possibility of the interpretation is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need both. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you only need one. And you'd be makel in both scenarios, if it was close and it wasn't locked, or if it was locked and it was far. Rabbi Yossi would say you're makel in both those scenarios, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say you need both. You're machmir in both those scenarios. The only case you're makel is where it's samuch. And the second possibility is that, no, they're arguing about what is the determining factor here. And Rabbi Yehuda says it is the proximity, it is the access. And as long as you have access, it's okay. If you don't have access, it's never okay. And Rabbi Yossi comes along and saying, no, that's not true. That as long as you are mishtameres, as long as it's guarded, it's okay. Even if you don't have access, even if it's further away. But if it's close by, if it's not mishtameres, it would not be okay. So the Gemara says, which of these is the correct interpretation of the machlokas on our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, a proof. Mediktani Rabbi Yossi Omer. Since in the language Rabbi Yossi says, Kol shenichnasin lo v'pasachas, va'afilu b'soch tchum Shabbos. Since when Rabbi Yossi formulates his position, he emphasizes the fact that anything that's locked up, even if it's b'soch tchum Shabbos, so that sounds like, not like the second interpretation, which says that if it's locked up, if it's b'tchum Shabbos, it works, but if it's locked up and it's samuch, and if it's not locked up, but it's samuch, it wouldn't work. Shema mina, Rabbi Yossi, tarti lekula. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi is makel twice. And therefore we go with the first interpretation, kamar. Shema mina, and that's the proof. Amar Rav Sala, Amar Rav Yirmiya, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, lahakel, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Eimavkiyin eitzim, lo min akor. Let's say you need to cut up some wood so you can use it for yontif. So you can't do that lo min akoros, not from beams, velo min akoros shenishpara biyom tov, and not from a beam that broke on yontif. The assumption is that these beams are omed to use to be built, right? People don't, people set aside beams so that they can use them for construction, right? I mean, somebody would come over and start taking some of the wood that's used for construction. I guess that's, especially then when they didn't have electric saws and stuff like that, it took a lot of effort and it wasn't so easy, to put together beams that you're using for construction. So you don't just go use that for firewood, So the assumption is if it's a beam, then it's omed for bone. Bone is asur on yontif, according to everybody. So that would be muksa. But same thing, minakara shenishpara biyantif. Same thing if a beam broke on yantif. That also, because again, when yantif began, it was designated, right, for the purpose of building. That would be muksa. So you can't use those things. You have to use wood that's been prepared or wood that's not necessarily omed libinyan. What could you use to chop it with? So the Mishnah says you can't use an axe, veloma megera, or a sickle, veloma magel, some sort of saw. Ela bekofitz, you can use a cleaver, like a butcher's knife, exactly.
Like a cleaver.
Oh, exactly. It's the way Rashi explains it, is that you're not allowed to use something that's used by an umon, by an expert. Axes, I don't know if you use axes, maybe you use axes. Most of us, I'm sure, here rarely use an axe. So So you can't use something that's used by an expert, but a cleaver, a butcher's knife that, you know, we all use at some point.
Actually, that's more tier.
To use that, it's a oh, so that's also a discussion, right?
Give him a shake.
Makes you more tier. That's, yeah. So says the Gemara, what's going on here? What are you telling me which type of axe I could use? The Marta Reisha, Mavkiim Klal. You said in the Reisha, you're not allowed to chop anything. Then in the Sefer, you're like, oh, by the way, when you're chopping, make sure you use the cleaver. What's going on? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chasuri Mechzer Vachik Tani. The Mishnah is a little bit missing its clear formulation, and this is exactly the way it's supposed to be read. Ei Mavkiin Min Asar Shokoros. You can't chop from a pile of beams. V'lo Min Akora Shnishpra B'Yantif, and you can't take wood from a kora, from a beam that's been broken on Yantif. Aval Mavkiin Min Akora Shnishpra Me'erav Yantif. But you are allowed to use a beam that was broken on Erev Yantif, because that means that when Yantif started, it was no longer useful as a beam. And Mistama, you meant that it could just be used for anything that it could be used for. You know, in our, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Eretz Yisrael, Lag B'Omer time. But what goes on is basically starting like 3 days before, you walk the streets of Yerushalayim or anywhere in Israel, and you will see like seven-year-olds dragging full trees or doors or closets or whatever can burn. They're just dragging it everywhere to build these gigantic fires. It's quite a... But if it was broken before Yantif, then Mistama, I left it alone and I would want to use it for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh. Now, when you're going to break it up, because you have something that can be broken up, which is the Korah that's Nishpura Me'erev Yantif, how do you cut it? Ein Makim Lobekarda Lobemagav Lobemagera. You can't use these things that are used generally by experts. Elabekofitz, you have to use this butcher's knife, this cleaver. Tanya Namihachi, we learned in a Braisa as well like this. Ein Mavkin Eitzim Lominasar Min Shalkoros. You can't cut wood from a pile of beams. V'lo min akora shenishpura b'yantif, not from a korah that's been broken on yantif. Why? And then the braisa is very explicit. Why? This is an issue of muksa. Lefi she'eino min amuchan, because it's not prepared. Okay. V'lo b'kardum. You can't use an axe. So says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chanina bar Shalmaya mishmei derav. Lo shanu, this that we learn that you can't use an axe. Lo shanu ella bin nikvos shalo. That's only on the wider part of the axe. About bezachrus shalo, but on the shorter part, head of the axe, mutter. That would be considered mutter. You could break the eitzim with that.
That would be on a two-headed axe.
Because that's a two-headed axe. So apparently, normally you would not use the male side of the axe, which apparently is the smaller side of the axe, to chop down a tree. You would use that once the tree is chopped down, you would use that to cut the pieces into pieces. But to give the tree a real zetz, like remember in the cartoons, you know, one, two, and then it goes, right? So you think Tom would realize this is happening, right? So catch on. So what do you call it? So you can't use the wide part, because the wide part is used by an uman to mamish chop down trees, right? But you can use the smaller part, because that's not normally used. So says the Gemara, Mezichel Shamuter Pshita, that's Pashut, Bekofitz Tnan. We already learned that you could use the butcher's knife or the meat cleaver. We already learned that you could use something smaller. If you could use something smaller, why wouldn't you be allowed to use the smaller part of the axe? So Mao Detame, I might have thought Animili Kofitz Lechudei, that there's a difference, because the meat cleaver or the butcher's knife, there's only one side to, and it's the smaller side. So it can only be used for something that's okay. About Kardum, but an axe, the Kofitz that's got like two sided, it's got an axe on one side and a Kofitz on the other side. Migu de Haigisa Aser, Haigisa Nami Aser. So I might think, since it's Aser to use one side, it's usher to use the other side. I might think it's usher to use the other side. It's like a gzeira, or it's a kli umon already. So, you know, once it's a kli uman, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to use it at all. So Rashi says, the osir kardom lechudei, the kuli nikvos of the eno osir livaka. Well, a kli uman of a ela lekli uman. About me, she yeshel shnei rashin, echad zachros kekofitz, vechad nekevos kekardom, emo de mucha milsa de livaka hu. It looks too much like this is for the purpose of chapri. Kamash Milan says the Gemara, that's why the Mishnah has to come tell you, no, that we're not worried about this, we're not worried about this two-sided thing. The Igdamasni law seifa. Some learn this comment that we said in the beginning as referring to the seifa. Ella bekofitz, with regards to the kofitz. How does that work? Amar Achanina bar Shalmaya mishmei de Rav lo shanu ella bezachros shalom. So Rashi explains that they used to have different gersos, I guess different impressions of what these smaller axes used to look like. Some say the smaller ones also used to have two different sides. About benikvos shalo aser, that you're not allowed to use the wider part. Pshita, velo bekardum, you're not allowed to use a kardum, so you're not allowed to, if a kardum has one side and it's wide, so the kofetz that has two sides, of course you can't use the wide side. So the Gemara says, ma'u tetem ha'manathot animili kardum, that's only true about the kardum, about kofetz, the kardum, but if you have both, eim amigu de ha'gisa shari, nami shari, I might think since the smaller side is mutter, maybe the bigger side is also mutter. So it says, because the whole kli is already not being used exclusively for the purpose of chopping down trees. So kamash melon, that's prohibited. The axe is prohibited. Bayis shu malei peros. The nifchas, you have a house that's full of peros. The nifchas, and it broke on its own. It's a locked enclosure. You basically built a storage area. And a part of it broke. No, tell me, mako mapechas. You could take from the place where it broke. What would be the problem of taking it? Rashi explains. Well, amrinan muktzon machmas isarein. Then yachol apachso beyomtov. Va'asech daito minayu. So, what's the problem? You have this enclosure, which is literally built to. It's built to completely enclose them. The only way to open it up is to break it. To break it. This is discussed a little bit with the bottles and the cans.
This is one why?
To preserve it. This is
to dry it out, like to make dried fruit, or is just the way they stored it?
The way they stored it, the storage.
Sounds like maybe like a barrel.
Barrel. But it's sealed. It's right. But this is more of a building. This is like for a larger area.
So they had an apple orchard, and the way they used to store the apples, and I think they still do some of it, was they would put in lime. Sacks and sacks of lime, seal the building, and the lime would keep the oxygen, suck out the oxygen, and so on. And
now it preserve them.
Now it preserve it.
Without refrigeration.
With minimal refrigeration.
Wow.
They actually take water from the Hudson River.
So Rashi says, if the only way to get to these apples, we'll use apples. If the only way to get to these apples, I don't know how many apples they had in Babylonia. Probably not Macintosh apples, right? If the only way to get to these apples is to destroy something, is to be over on the Malach of Soser. So Mistama, a person, when Shabbos or Yontif began, was Makatzadas from this, because you can't get to it without being over an Isser, right?
I think you're allowed to destroy something to get for Zerach Ochel on Nishan.
So, okay, so we're going to see. That, something you're talking about, is a kli. Here we're talking about a building. You're not allowed to break open a building. Let's say you want to go shopping, and the store is closed. The only way to open it up is to break down the door. That, you're not allowed to do. Even to get the potato chips. Even to get, unless it's seasoned. Then maybe you're allowed to. Because it's mamish pekuach nefesh. Not to have the, right? So anyway, so Rashi's ba'asach daitu minayu. The came in the lohavo pichisoso isura do raisa. Okay, so now we're going to get to exactly how that works. So now the Gemara says, so that's so the nivchas no tell me makom apeches. Rabbi Meir Omer af poches lechadchila v'no tell. Rabbi Meir gets up and he says, no, you're allowed to actually. Take some of these things down and get to the items. So, Amai, V'halkasasar, the Gemara says right away, what do you mean, Rabbi Meir? You're allowed to take some of it down. That's stira. You're not allowed to, it's so sarah. You're not allowed to destroy a building on Shabbos or on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nach Nechumi Bar Ada Amar Shmuel Ba'avira Delivne. It's not talking about a case where you put bricks and mortar. It's talking about a case where you just piled up the bricks. So it wasn't built. It was built clearly to be an enclosure. It was built clearly not to deal with over Shabbos and Yontif. But says Rabbi Meir, Litzarech Yontif, if this is the only way that you can get to your food for Yontif, and you need it for Yontif, since there's no mortar there, that's not considered a problem of Soser. That's not considered a problem of breaking it down. So that's what Rashi says. Sidur shalavonim below tit. You arrange the stones without any mortar. So ini is that tov. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Hani livni di ayasur mibinyana." If you have bricks that are left over from building, shari litaltelunayu bishabsa, you're allowed to move them. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Why? Hoel v'chazi l'mizga alayhu. Since they are usable, they could be used for what? To sit on. So since they could be used to sit on, it's not considered that when Shabbos and Yontif began, they wouldn't have a purpose, and therefore they're not muksa. Sharginhu vaday akatsinhu. But says the Gemara, if you were mesader zu al galzu, if you were mesader them, let's say you mamish put them in a very specific pile, they're not just lying there as extra, but you put them in a very specific pile. So says Rashi, goli date shemikatsan lebinyan. So then you reveal that you clearly plan to use them for binyan. The asula tatlinu, and you're not allowed to move them. Umaslisa naminis asner on shamitaltalin. So you're not allowed to move them. They're muksa, right? So Amar Rabbi Zeira, so that's the kasha on Rabbi Meir. So these are bricks, but they seem to be in a pile for some sort of designated purpose. So why are you now allowed to go take them down? Amar Rabbi Zeira b'yom tov omru, aval lo b'shabbos. Rabbi Meir made a statement, not on Shabbos, but on Yontif. He was more mekel on Yontif. Utzarech ochel nefesh, that it's mutter to involve yourself in this issa d'rabbanan. How we've seen that in general, when it comes to muksa, sometimes with regards to Yontif, will be more mekel. Tanya nami hachi, we learned in a braisa, to corroborate this, Rabbi Meir says, af poches l'chachila, you're allowed to break it down l'chachila, v'notel b'yom tov, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. B'yom tov omru. Aval lo b'shabbos, but not on Shabbos. Omar Shmuel, says Shmuel, chosmos shebekarka. Rope that's holding things down to the ground. Rashi says, kagon dalsos pizchei boros, like doors that are trying to cover pits. Uma oror, caves a segurim b'kishrei chavolim, or caves that are closed with rope. So matir, you're allowed to untie them. Why are you allowed to untie them? You're allowed to untie them as a kesher, the tie, the knot. The alav kesher shel kayomahu. Shari lahatir tamid hu asui. Like your shoes. Why are you allowed to untie your shoes? Because the knot that you make, you're not allowed to normally untie on Shabbos. It's a malach of matir.
It's not permanent.
Right? But it's not permanent. It's made to be tied and untied. You're not allowed to cut it, and you're not allowed to like unravel the rope. Not to just untie it, but like completely, you know, unravel the individual strings of the rope. Because by kelim, you're allowed to untie, and even you're allowed to untie the rope and cut it. Echad Shabbos ve'echad Yontif. So you're allowed to do it by kelim, you're not allowed to do it with something that's holding something to the ground. It sounds like on Yontif, you are allowed to be, even allowed to cut it. Ha'amani, who is that? Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir. that Rabbi Meir, just like he's Mekel in our case, when it comes to Tzorech Yantif, so too by Yantif here, he would be Mekel. Upligi Rabbanan Alea, and the Rabbanan argue on him. Okay. Now the next part's already part of the Kasha that goes on to the next time, so we'll stop. Good? All right, everyone.